Did Samantha go? Tell her thank you, Penny and Craig. She's coming right along. She was kind of a difficult student for me at first on the keyboard. No, she's doing so well, so well. Printed in your worship bulletin, I think in the worship leaflet right on the back, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, and that's another word for the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break, and they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. That's the title of a children's book in which a boy, about 7 years old, maybe six, seven, who really has a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Now it all begins with little Alexander wakes up in the morning saying, "I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair, and when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running, and I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day." Now, true to Alexander's prediction, his no good, very bad day includes a frustrating time at school and an unwanted visit to the dentist's office. Later at home, things don't get any better that evening. Says Alexander, "There were lima beans for dinner, and I hate lima beans. There was kissing on TV, and I hate kissing. My bath was too hot. I got soap in my eyes. My marble went down the drain, and I had to wear my railroad train pajamas. I hate my railroad train pajamas. When I went to bed, my brother took back the pillow he said I could keep, and the Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out, and I bit my tongue. The cat wants to sleep with my other brother, not with me. It has been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day." And finally, before going to sleep, little Alexander sighs and says, "I think I'll move to Australia." In the first part of our verses today from Luke, the fisherman, Simon Peter, seems to be having one of those no good, very bad days. He and his companions had spent grueling hours on Lake Galilee, dragging their heavy nets, hoping to catch a few fish to sell or at least to eat, but they paddled back to shore empty-handed. And now they're cleaning up, ready to call it quits, at least for that day. As they wash and mend their nets, Jesus is nearby, preaching God's word to the people around him. And when our Lord suddenly finishes speaking, he instructs Simon to take that boat out again into the deep water and cast those nets once more. Master, Simon answers, we've worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but if you say so, I will fling out the nets. And when he does, of course, such a huge number of fish get caught that the nets begin to tear and they fill up two boats with fish until they almost sink. Simon and his fishing partners, James and John, are completely overcome by this miraculous catch they made. Peter, in fact, senses that he is in the presence of someone glorious and divine. So he confesses his own unworthiness, and amid the piles of fresh fish, he bows to Jesus in total humility. But Christ says to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, it is people who you will be catching." Then John and James and Peter leave everything behind and go with Jesus. It's often said that nothing in the world grows faster than a fish between the time it's caught until the time the person who caught it tells about it. The story is told of an old fisherman who arrived at the pearly gates of heaven, and Peter asked him what he wanted. "I want to come in," the man said. "You can't come in here. You've told too many lies," Peter answers. To which the man says, "Please have a heart, St. Peter. After all, you were a fisherman yourself." I'm looking for certain fishermen in the congregation. After his encounter with Jesus at Lake Galilee, the fisherman became Simon Peter, the rock, the fisher of men. And from then on, life was never the same for him. And we notice it all began when he submitted to Jesus' divine authority. All night, Peter and the others had tested the waters, caught not one thing. They didn't even have a fish story to tell about the one that got away. But now, in Luke, the 5th chapter, it's morning. The Middle Eastern sun is climbing with its dazzling heat and light. In northern Israel, that is the worst time to fish. But at that moment, the Savior tells Peter and the others, "Put out into the deep water and throw out your nets for a catch." This was a doubtful time of day for fishing. And a carpenter is telling professional fishers what to do for a catch. But they obeyed. They did it anyway, since it was Jesus who invited them. And see how generously, super abundantly, God rewards their choice. Maybe the real miracle in this passage is those fishermen then willingly gave up the fish they'd caught, gave up their nets, gave up their boats, let go of their source of livelihood, nearly everything, in order to be with Jesus. In other words, Peter, James, and John, three simple fishermen, were caught. They were caught in Christ's tremendous net. He was now the Lord of their lives. "Follow me," he said, and they obeyed. For that reason, many in the Christian world call them saints. Of course, in our teaching, we firmly believe that any and all Christians, each one who follows Jesus, is a saint, at least small letter S, saint. Every true follower of the Master is in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus as time goes on. During the reign of the Puritan Protestant governor Oliver Cromwell, the British government began to run low on silver coins. So Lord Cromwell sent some people of his treasury. He sent them out to see if they could find any silver in any of the great cathedrals. And after visiting the huge cathedral, the investigators reported back to Cromwell. They said, "The only silver we could find is in the statues of the saints standing in the corners." To which Cromwell answered, "Good, we will melt down the saints and put them into circulation." We will melt down the saints and put them into circulation. I think that's a pretty good Christian doctrine. The first priority of daily Christianity is not to cram silver-coated saints into the corners of elegant cathedrals, although we love our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters. The first priority of practical day-by-day Christ-centered Christianity is to put real, live, saintly human beings into circulation, to make people from every walk of life fishers of men and women, bookkeepers, beekeepers, homemakers, teachers, carpenters, plumbers, farmers, preachers, engineers, accountants, doctors, lawyers, retirees, and even fishermen. The priority of genuine Christianity is to melt down our hearts with the fire of the living Christ, and then circulate us through the mainstreams of life today. Proclaiming that God is real, Christ is risen, caring is the answer, and forgiveness is utterly available, and that hope is a sparkling reality if we take hold of it, and faith is a motivating, living veracity because God is our rock and our redeemer. With the coming of Jesus Christ, the great cosmic meltdown began. With the coming of Jesus, humanity is beginning still to come into its own. Boris Pasternak expresses that beautifully in Dr. Zhivago, the novel of the story Dr. Zhivago. He describes the corruption of the Roman Empire, but then he says, "Into this tasteless heap of gold and marble, he came, clothed in an aura of light. And at that moment, false gods and nations ceased to be. And man, capital M, man came into being. Man the carpenter, woman the dairy maid. Man the plowman, woman the mother of saints. Man the shepherd with his flock of sheep at sunset. Woman celebrating fullness of strength, yet crooning the cradle songs of motherhood and the grace of making a loving home. Man and woman building, striving, endeavoring toward the light, and even dying with a sweet smile of faith, all because of Christ Jesus, who hallowed these lives of ours and made it true that even our humble days can display the glory of God's boundless grace." You know, I think it is a good experience to melt down every now and then, allowing the Lord to thaw our slushy self-centeredness, our wounded, irritated hearts, inviting Jesus Christ to spark the flame of faith and love, bringing torchlight, the light of the Lord, into our families, our workplaces, our schools and neighborhoods, and lo and behold, our churches, enabling us to circulate all the better. It was just after New Year's Eve when a little girl was playing in the snow with her neighbor friend, and the child's mother invited both of them to come in for some warm toast and a mug of hot chocolate. And the first one relished the warm drink and happily finished her toast, but the other girl asked for more cocoa. Eager to get back outside and play, the first one impatiently said to her friend, "Tricia, the idea is to warm up, not fill up." Well, may, in the Spirit of God, may you and I always receive all that we need. But above all, let's go out and circulate the love and truth of God and His name. Amen.